is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as all eyes are on Tarik Skubal of the Detroit Tigers as they head to the top of the fourth inning in Detroit against the Minnesota Twins. Why do I say that? Because Skubal has retired all nine of the first batters that he has faced, eight of them via the strikeout. This is an insane start to a game. We could be seeing a special night here from the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner. Joining us now in the Progressive Guest Line to talk more Major League Baseball is our very own Greg Peterson. You see him across the network here on VSiN, hosting Cashing Out, and you listen to the Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts from. Greg, eight strikeouts in the first nine batters. Skubal now a minus 165 favorite to repeat as the American League Cy Young Award winner. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that minus 165 is very justified at this point. Not necessarily a market I'd be willing to bet right now, just because you never know when injury happens, what have you. But I intrigue Skubal has been absolutely amazing all season long. Now, I did take the over in this game, but that's because I'm banking on a lot of runs from the Tigers, which we might be getting when it's all said and done. And keep in mind, it is only three innings. We could see Skubal give up a run or two. He did give up four in his last start against the A's, but I mean, the guy is absolutely rolling right now. It has been remarkable. And for the Twins, this is a team that is just really spiraling downward. Recognize that they had a good series in their previous series before going on over here to Detroit, but I mean, this is a team that I'm looking to fade quite a bit moving forward.
Yeah, and I can tell you right now, it won't be another strikeout for the leadoff batter of the inning, a deep fly out to the warning track here for Buxton. So not a strikeout to start the top of the fourth, but now 10 straight batters retired to start the game for Tarik Skubal. Greg, if you look at those odds for the Cy Young in the American League, your second favorite is Garrett Crochet of the Red Sox. He is about plus 420 or so odds, and Crochet will get the ball here on Monday for the Red Sox against Chase Burns, the rookie sensation for the Cincinnati Reds. Boston, a heavy favorite at home here. How would you look to play this game?
I will be looking at the Red Sox on the run line because with Chase Burns, he's an absolutely remarkable pitcher. He is going to be around for a very, very long time. We only saw him go five innings against the New York Yankees. I do think that for the Cincinnati Reds, they're going to look to ease him into things a little bit more. And additionally, this is his first ever road start. His first start was in Cincinnati, so he was around familiar surroundings. In your first ever career road start in Major League Baseball, I have to think that that's just a little bit daunting for you in general. And this is a Red Sox team that's been, shall we say, hit or miss at the plate ever since Rafael Devers has been out of the fold. They've been averaging fewer than four runs per game, but I mean, Garrett Crochet, he's just absolutely rocking and rolling right now. You mentioned it with them, number two odds to be able to win the American League Cy Young. A sub 2.5 ERA, which I think there might be a little bit of regression with. Still, I think that he goes out there, lends a relatively solid start against the Cincinnati Reds. You should be able to get some relatively good plus money on this run line. Right now, I'm seeing that right in the neighborhood about plus 110, plus 112. Wouldn't want to take much less than that, but as long as I'm getting that plus 110 or greater, we'll take a shot on that Red Sox run line.
Well, we talk about second favorites to win a Cy Young Award, and in the National League, Zach Wheeler of the Phillies is the second favorite to win the Cy Young Award, and Wheeler will be on the bump here on Monday for the Phillies as they host the Padres, and Matt Waldron makes his season debut for San Diego. Wheeler and the Phillies north of $2 favorites, Greg.
Yep, absolutely, and that total of nine really intrigues me because the Padres' offense has been pretty pedestrian this year. It's not that it's been terrible, but I expected a little bit more power from these guys. Trio of guys, Gavin Sheets, Manny Machado, along with, as well, Fernando Tatis Jr., give you 13-plus home runs. It's that bottom of the lineup, though. Those mix-and-match outfielders, the catcher spot, it's really giving you nothing. And keep in mind, it's not like the Philadelphia Phillies are ripping the cover off the ball either. Kyle Schwarber has been able to give you 24-plus home runs, and Trey Turner is starting to turn it up as well. Those are the lone two guys, though, that have north of nine home runs for this team. They're currently without Bryce Harper. That bottom of the lineup hasn't been able to give you a whole heck of a lot. I still would be willing to take the run line of the Phillies because Waldron needed eight minor league starts to be able to make it back up. That tells me that it wasn't just rehab. That tells me that it's just he wasn't that good and he was posting up a five ERA at the minor league level. He's got a knuckleball, which means that you could get any sort of result. When you face off against a knuckleballer, yeah, sometimes they are absolutely on, sometimes they are absolutely off. I think that for the Phillies, they should be able to get to him here. I would be looking at a run line of the Phillies, which you're going to to be fine that in the neighborhood about minus 110. Wouldn't want to go past that, but I'm willing to go up to that minus 110, and I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that under.
On the under. Okay. The Yankees take on the Blue Jays, Greg. New York snapping their streak of 16 consecutive unders by having an over here on Sunday as Aaron Judge homered twice. Nice to see him break out of a little slump. Carlos Rodon gets the bump for the Yankees, and Max Scherzer starting for the Blue Jays in Toronto. Yankees minus 160 road favorites. Does this price make sense to you?
Yes, it does. I did set the New York Yankees more in that mid-range price. I did set it at minus 137. So if we can continue to get this go northward, if we can continue to get like a plus 140 or so, I would be taking a look at the Blue Jays. And heck, if you're able to get like a minus 125, minus 120 on getting a run-off with the Blue Jays, that might not be bad either. For the Yankees, I think that they are finally busting out of their funk. And let's call it what it is. This is not the Max Scherzer of even like 3 to 4 years ago. He looks solid in his last start, though. He gave you five innings. You feel relatively okay there. Blue Jays coming off of a nice series win against the Boston Red Sox, where bullpen has been solid. And for the Yankees, I think that they finally figured out something on offense, being able to put up a 10 spot against the Athletics, albeit it's the Athletics. That helps you out as well. Aaron Judge is doing Aaron Judge things. I do think that Trent Grisham is going to continue to be a mainstay for this team. But also with the Blue Jays, they're starting to find some offense as well. Flagger Jr. is starting to heat up. George Springer is having a little bit of a renaissance here. Even though the Powerball hasn't been working for the Blue Jays, they are a bunch of, I have a lot of guys reaching base. And for the Blue Jays, about 3.7 to 3.8 runs per game away from home, north of 5 runs per game at home. So I look at that total that I'm seeing of 8 at a lot of the openers. I'm looking at the over. And if we could get to that like plus 140, I would be looking at the Jays.
Our very own Greg Peterson joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. You listen to Greg's Baseball Betting Show wherever you get your podcasts, and catch Greg hosting Cashing Out and also filling in on a variety of shows across the VSiN network. Earlier, Greg, I talked about the A's and their struggles at home, and we know that Sutter Health Park, Park Factors, it's the best hitter's park right now in baseball, and the A's ERA at home is second worst to only the Colorado Rockies right now. But Luis Severino, who got the start against the Yankees here on Sunday, was quoted in The Athletic saying about how the situation at the ballpark is what makes it not good to pitch in. The small crowd, that doesn't feel like a big league atmosphere, the lack of amenities, if you will. Well, the next three games for the A's are going to be in a minor league ballpark in Tampa, where the Rays play their home games. I think if Severino's saying this, it's not just his opinion, Greg. I think it's the opinion shared by a lot of players, and maybe it's just the pitchers, but a lot of other players here on this A's team. I would be looking to fade the A's here in these three games in Tampa. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and it's ironic that you've heard this from a few of the A's players. Guess who has not been complaining? The Tampa Bay Rays, managed by Kevin Cash, who just continue to go out there, do their job. And as we know, the Rays have always been a little bit of a better road team than a home team. And, well, they were playing at the Trop last few years, so I don't know how much of a downgrade this really is. So, I mean, they're already somewhat used to it. But Drew Rasmussen has been absolutely rocking and rolling. A sub-250 ERA. Not going to blow you away with a bunch of strikeouts or anything like that, but he keeps the ball in the yard. He doesn't give up a lot of walks. And for Jacob Lopez, he's actually been really good for the A's recently. He has given up 2 runs or fewer in 3 out of his last 4 starts, 11.5 strikeouts per 9, but he gets a lot of strikeouts. He also gets burnt quite a bit. 3.5 walks per 9 innings, 1.2 home runs per 9. And I could see this happening, where Jacob Lopez maybe goes out there 5-6 innings, gives up 2 runs, relatively solid start, A's bullpen. To your point about maybe this being a shared opinion, dead last in the big leagues in terms of ERA. They don't have a single guy that has made at least 7 appearances that has a sub-4 ERA, with Hogan Harris getting blown up today. So with this Tampa Bay Rays team being a top-7 team now in terms of runs per game, I think that they get to Lopez a little bit, they get into that bullpen, cover that run line at plus money, and I do like, especially if you can find an 8. I'm mostly seeing 8.5s, but I'm starting to see a straight 8 or 2 popping up there as well. Do like that over.
Greg, I want to fast forward to Tuesday, where the Mets will begin a series against the Brewers at Citi Field. Freddie Peralta and Clay Holmes are your scheduled starters. The Mets got blown out here in a 3-game sweep by the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's now, 12 of their last 15 or 16 that this team has lost. Going down fast here for the New York Mets. What's your take on this team and the opener of this 3-game series coming up on Tuesday?
I think that the regression of this Mets pitching is really starting to come aboard, because I mean, towards the first like 2 months of the season, they had the number one ERA out there in all of baseball. It felt like a lot of these guys, like Clay Holmes, Griffin Canning, guys like that, were playing above their skis. And now they're actually starting guys I think are less trustworthy. Like Frankie Montas got the start today. He was terrible in his minor league rehab starts. I mean, Paul Blackburn, he is not an upgrade to Clay Holmes. He is not an upgrade to some of these other starters that they've had. Tyler McGill being out of the fold has hurt this team as well. So, and you add in there Paul Blackburn and Frankie Montas, it's actually a downgrade for this team. And for the Milwaukee Brewers, I think that this is going to be a very interesting series in which they lose today to the Colorado Rockies. But for the Brewers, they're actually leading the big leagues in terms of runs per game. 5.65 runs per game at home or on the road. Fewer than 4 runs per game at home. So we could see a pretty high scoring series, because for the Mets, I recognize that the series against the Pirates was less than savory. The Mets offense overall, other than that series, it's been relatively fine. It's a pitching that's really been regressing.
Greg, appreciate the stuff. Great insight as always. Good luck with your bets. Enjoy the rest of this night, which could be a special one here for Tarek Skubal.
Absolutely, and I'll see you in a few hours. Scott, thank you.
Yes, he will. As Greg will be hosting Cashing Out coming up later on here tonight on VSiN. I mentioned a special night potentially for Tarek Skubal as he has faced the minimum. Tarek Skubal perfect here through 4 innings with 9 strikeouts as the Tigers have expanded their lead now over the Twins 2-0 in the bottom of the 4th inning. We'll update you on that, plus the live markets here in the Gold Cup and so much more. NBA free agency begins tomorrow. How about that? A lot of moves made here on Sunday as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to Greg Peterson, who joined us last segment. Talk a little Major League Baseball as we got a special night possibly on the horizon here for Tarek Skubal and the Detroit Tigers, as the Tigers have a 2-0 lead right now over the Minnesota Twins, and Tarek Skubal has been nothing short of phenomenal here against the Twins. As we head to the top of the 5th inning, Skubal has retired the minimum, has faced the minimum. He is perfect through 4 innings, 9 strikeouts so far for Skubal over the Twins. 9 strikeouts of the 12 outs. 9 of them have come via the strikeout. He struck out 8 of the first 9 batters he faced in this game. He went over his strikeout prop of 7.5 in the 3rd inning. That's incredible. But I noticed something. My producer John and I were talking during the break about how, you know, DraftKings and other sports books do this all the time. They offer these odds, and yes, something, you know, we could be seeing something special. And they say, you know, the updated market, could Skubal throw a no-hitter tonight? You get plus 2,000 odds, plus 2,500 for Skubal to throw a no-hitter. And I've seen these markets up like prior to the game's beginning, where they're like, hey, we'll give you 40-1, 50-1 on some, you know, will a guy throw a no-hitter? And while those are fun markets to bet into, as Skubal gets a ground out to start the inning, so perfect so far through 4 1/3. And while those markets are fun to bet into, you have to sometimes understand, and this happens the majority of the time, you will never get the true payout. The odds of a no-hitter in Major League Baseball are 0.13%. Okay? Like, it's incredible. Like, that's the odds of throwing a no-hitter in baseball. 0.013. Let me get the calculator out here. It's actually less than that. Should be 0.6, 0.06. Oh my goodness. But I saw, oh, a Skubal does give up a hit. Diving attempt here by the right fielder. Well, it's still a great start here for Tarek Skubal. What a great start as the fans give him a standing ovation here in Detroit. He gives up his first hit. It was too early to start talking about no hitter anyway, but he does give up. It's a bloop. It's not a bloop single, but fly ball here off the end of the bat to right field. And let's see how close the fielder was to getting this. Oh, they didn't show the replay. Diving attempt by the right fielder, and it winds up going down for a hit. So the first hit of the game for the Twins comes here in the fifth inning. But the bottom line is, let's say, for example, I saw something that was 0.13% of a chance of something happening. Well, just calculate true odds on something that's 0.13%. That's basically one in every 769.23, which means your payout should be plus 7,690, not plus 2,000. And if something's even more rare than that, one in, 1,500, then your odds should be plus 15,000. If something happens one in every 700 times, your true payout is 700-1. But yet, the sports books, most of the time, don't give you the true payout. So it's just a little bit of betting advice. Don't get suckered in by something that looks fun and looks cute, and it could be a fun long shot prop to play, when if you calculate the true odds, you're not going to get your proper payout, and therefore it's not a good market to bet into. A lot of this math has to come into the equation when you're taking a look at some of these bets for things to occur. I'm not talking about awards markets and things like that. I'm talking about actual events where you have some data on, like a no-hitter in baseball, things like that, or a grand slam to occur, or certain number of statistical things that can happen over the course of a sporting event. All right, we're still in the top of the fifth inning here. Skubal, 4 1/3 pitch, 4 2/3 pitch now, as he does get his 10th strikeout of the game. His live total, as I mentioned, once he was at 8 strikeouts, was 12.5, minus 110 to the over, and he is on his way here. 10 strikeouts in 4 2/3 innings right now, just one hit allowed. The Tigers with a 2-0 lead over the Twins. Now, as we are suckered into this incredible start by Tarik Skubal, the game is far from over. This is still only a 2-run game. And while, yeah, Tigers are minus 1360 on the money line, minus 2.5 on the live run line, Twins plus 600 to come back to win, Twins plus 2.5 on the run line, like, this game is far from over. It's far from over. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. But we have Tarik Skubal to record the win in this game, so we would certainly like a little bit more insurance runs from the Detroit Tigers, or maybe Skubal just continues to mow him down like he has been already here tonight. I mentioned Tarik Skubal with Greg Peterson as we talked last segment. He is the minus 165 favorite to win the American League Cy Young Award. Garrett Crochet of the Red Sox is your second favorite at plus 420, followed by Hunter Brown of the Astros at plus 500. Max Fried of the Yankees at 11-1, Jacob DeGrom is next at 12-1. Now, I have a Jacob DeGrom ticket, and I make no secrets about it. I have DeGrom at 15-1, and I thought it was an incredible bet. And watching Jacob DeGrom pitch this season, I still think it's a good bet. But Tarik Skubal is having a phenomenal season, and tonight's start is only going to add to Skubal's Cy Young resume as he strikes out another batter here. 11 strikeouts now through 5 innings. But let's take a look at some numbers here for all these pitchers in the American League. And we're looking at this awards market. ERA, Hunter Brown has the best ERA at 1.74. Tarik Skubal, which it will go down tonight if he continues this, if he continues on this trend of not allowing any runs, Skubal's ERA will go down. Right now, his live ERA is at 2.19. But the best ERA in the American League belongs to Hunter Brown at 1.74. Max Fried is next at 1.92. Garrett Crochet is next at 2.06. Fielding independent pitching. And this is the reason why Skubal is your overwhelming favorite. is because fielding independent pitching takes out the defense, takes out only what the pitcher can control. Skubal is at a 2.13, the best FIP in all of Major League Baseball. Second best in the American League. It's not Garrett Crochet. It's not Max Fried or Hunter Brown. It's actually Chris Bubich of the Kansas City Royals with a 2.54, then Garrett Crochet. And then there is another stat that we look at here in baseball as far as pitchers are concerned. And that is Sierra. Sierra is an advanced analytics stat in baseball. It's skill interactive ERA. And so it basically takes your pitcher's performance, your performances, right? And it removes everything that the pitcher can't control. So it takes out a defense like fielding independent independent pitching, but it also takes out park factors. So like a pitcher pitching in Colorado is going to be different than a pitcher pitching in Texas or a pitcher pitching in Sacramento for the A's. Well, if we look at the Sierra numbers, the lowest in all of baseball, Tarek Skubal, 2.48. Then the next in the American League is Hunter Brown at 2.85. Garrett Crochet at 2.90. Notice how I didn't talk about any wins because the win numbers don't mean anything right now. Strikeout to walk ratio. Now, this is a big one. Skubal number one in all of baseball, 9.62 strikeouts to walks, which is crazy considering the second best in Major League Baseball is Spencer Schwellenbach of the Braves at 6. It's those numbers that will be the reason why Skubal wins his second consecutive Cy Young Award. Dude's been unbelievable. Hey, before the line moves, the Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com is already there because they don't chase the market, they move it. You're not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time pro bettors on your own, but with the Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted by insider sources, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You're going to get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights all delivered right to you via email or X. And the Sharp Plays has a documented track record going back to 2011 with receipts, public logs, and results right on their site. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at SharpPlays.com. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. The Tigers look to add some runs here against the Minnesota Twins. Now lead 3-0 in the bottom of the fifth inning. So cash your first fives, by the way. Congratulations. If you bet your first five with Tarek Skubal on the mound, you laid the half a run because you didn't want to pay that enormous money line price. Congratulations. You cash that here, and we're looking to cash our Skubal to record a win ticket, which is pending right now. But the Tigers with a 3-0 lead here in the bottom of the fifth inning, off to a great start. Soccer in the Gold Cup quarterfinal, the U.S. men's national team has taken now a 2-1 lead over Costa Rica with an early goal here in the second half. We are in the 64th minute in the United States with a 2-1 lead. The U.S. trailed 1-0 after a 12th minute penalty shot was awarded to Costa Rica, and the U.S. has scored 2 unanswered goals, now leading 2-1 as they look to advance to the semifinal against Guatemala, who pulled a huge upset over Canada earlier here on Sunday. NBA free agency begins tomorrow. That is the start of the negotiating period, and then players will certainly begin to sign later on in the week. But there have been massive amounts of moves here in the NBA already prior to the start of free agency, including moves made here on Sunday and moves made just moments ago. The Houston Rockets, about 30 minutes ago, have agreed to a contract extension with Jabari Smith Jr., a 5-year, $122 million rookie contract extension. It's a fully guaranteed deal that runs through 2030-2031. And as Shams of ESPN tweeted out, here's what the Rockets have done in the last 15 days. They have given extensions now to Jabari Smith Jr., Steven Adams, and their head coach Ime Udoka. They also retained free agents Fred Van Fleet, Aaron Holiday, Jeff Green, Jae'Sean Tate, and of course, the acquisition of Kevin Durant. The Houston Rockets, your second favorite to win the NBA title right now behind your reigning champion, the Oklahoma City Thunder. So a busy early offseason here for the Houston Rockets. And for Jabari Smith Jr., didn't necessarily have to make this move now. You know, could have maybe bet on himself and went out there and maybe tried to have an all-star type season, get more money next offseason. But for the Rockets and for Smith, this was a deal that, you know, locks this kind of core into place, or at least the young core in place for the next several years as they look to make a run at an NBA title. Elsewhere in the NBA here on Sunday, James Harden opted out of his deal with the Clippers, but the intention all along was to re-sign a deal. And so Harden declined his $36.3 million player option and will re-sign with the Clippers on a two-year $81.5 million player option. And the Clippers, that's a team, I got to be honest with you, you know, it's probably going to, you know, Nicholas Batum is probably going to wind up re-signing there as well. I don't think the Clippers are getting enough love here in the futures market. We look at the futures market here, the odds to win the NBA title next season, the Clippers, what, 40-1? I mean, that makes no sense. If Kawhi Leonard stays healthy, this feels like a team that can certainly compete. I mean, how many people were talking about the Clippers when we were in the NBA playoffs thinking about, or, you know, hey, this is a team. No one wants to face the Clippers, right? No one wants to face the Clippers. You get to the Clippers here in the NBA playoffs, and all of a sudden, Kawhi Leonard, you know, performs, and he stays healthy, and this is a dangerous team in the postseason. I still feel that way. Now, I don't like betting on James Harden to win a title because I don't think James Harden is a championship player, but the Clippers were 50-32 last year. They were the 5 seed in the Western Conference playoffs, but they had the same record as the Lakers, who were the 3 seed at 50-32. The Lakers, I get it, Luka, LeBron, and LeBron, by the way, he opted out of his deal and will stay and re-sign, or excuse me, LeBron opted in for his deal. He stays with the Lakers. Not like that was ever going to change, but he picks up his $52.6 million option, which, of course, he was going to do because that's a lot of money for a 40-year-old player. So LeBron picks up his option to stay with the Lakers, and he's going to monitor their moves moving forward as he hopes to compete for another NBA championship. But the Lakers, you know, with Luka and LeBron, and no big man, by the way, like no center, that's something that they absolutely have to look for here in the offseason. Lakers are 14-1. I mean, if Kawhi Leonard plays and stays healthy for the whole season, the Clippers are a dangerous team at 40-1 odds. A real dangerous team. And the Western Conference is so loaded that it's easy to see somebody like a long shot in the Western Conference coming through. Because, yeah, you got the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets as your top two teams, but Timberwolves, they're going to be back, right? Lakers, we know about that. The Nuggets are a championship team with the best player in the world. The Spurs, a young, exciting team with possibly back-to-back-to-back rookies of the year. I understand Cooper Flagg's the overwhelming favorite, but Dylan Harper, the second overall pick, could have a nice season. And then you got the Clippers. 40-1 just feels like really disrespectful price for a real good team there in LA. But those were some of the moves that were made here today. Also, Bobby Portis signing a $44 million deal with the Bucks, and That's obviously not the big move that Bucks fans are waiting to hear about. They're waiting to hear about the future of Giannis and what is going to happen with that roster. Does Giannis stay? Do they add some players, some role players? Do they trade away Giannis? Like, what will the Milwaukee Bucks look like? And the more that I'm reading and hearing is that Giannis is going to stay. I think if there was a move to be made, it would have gotten done already. Now, maybe they're holding out to see how the market plays out and see how free agency plays out. You waited till after the draft. Now you wait on free agency. And maybe you don't do something until during, you know, prior to the season, or you know, who knows, midway through the season, you never know. But from what I'm, you know, kind of gathering right now, just it feels like Giannis staying in Milwaukee is the most likely of outcomes. Speaking of the Bucks, they are 60-1 to win the NBA title. To win the Eastern Conference, they are 18-1. Cavs are your favorite to win the Eastern Conference, followed by the Knicks, then the Magic and Celtics are next as we take an early look here at the NBA futures for next season. Free agency, not many guys available here. Not many big names, I should say, available here. Because, I mean, Russell Westbrook, what's he going to do for a team now at his age? He's going to be a role player anyway. But it's those are the names that we're kind of keeping an eye on here for the free agency period, which begins coming up tomorrow, about 6 o'clock Eastern time, I believe. And then, and also some of the options, some players here that teams are either deciding to pick up options or decline options, obviously declining options, and players maybe opting out, and that will certainly change a free agency picture. But most of the time, a lot of these guys that opt out, they do wind up re-signing with their teams. Like Duncan Robinson declined his option here, and they're going to work out a longer term deal, or get moved somewhere else. So that's one situation here. Also for the Timberwolves, Julius Randle is going to sign a new $100 million contract. But the big news that just came down about a half an hour ago, the Houston Rockets strengthening their core by signing Jabari Smith Jr. to a contract extension. Hey, if you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is your first real edge. Coming out Tuesday, July 1st, it's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, and betting projections. Everything you need to bet smarter this upcoming NFL season. Kick off your season with confidence and get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bet emails, and exclusive content throughout the season and through the Super Bowl, all for just $175. Your smartest NFL bet starts now at VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Get us all up on the network at VSiN Live. An update on Sunday Night Baseball, Gold Cup as well. And we'll start to take a look at some futures in Major League Baseball coming up. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are in the bottom of the sixth inning. Tigers holding on to a 3-0 lead over the Twins. Tarek Skubal has pitched a gem here through six innings. Skubal, one hit allowed, 11 strikeouts, and yes, one walk. So cash that walk prop, right? Over a half a walk for Skubal. But we're hoping that the Tigers continue to pour it on here as we got Skubal to record a win. He has done his job, and he'll likely be out here for the seventh as well. Only 83 pitches for Tarek Skubal. Meanwhile, Twins are into their bullpen for the final line for Chris Paddock. 4 2/3 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 strikeouts, two home runs allowed, a Kerry Carpenter home run in the bottom of the first inning, Riley Green homered in the bottom of the fourth, and then Carpenter tripled in the bottom of the fifth to get the extra run here. So 3-0, bottom of the sixth inning, Tigers leading the Minnesota Twins. Costa Rica, meanwhile, has tied up the game with the U.S. men's national team. 2-2 is where we are in the 79th minute right now of the CONCACAF Gold Cup quarterfinal, with the winner advancing to take on Guatemala in the semifinal after Guatemala pulled a historic upset over Canada earlier in penalties. Looking at the live markets right now for this game, the U.S. to advance is minus 240. Even though the game is tied 2-2 and the potential of extra time and penalties, the U.S. to advance, minus 240. For the U.S. to win, if you think in regulation, as we're in the 80th minute now, plus 230, the draw is now minus 205 for this game to go into extra time. The draw is minus 205. And if you want to take a look, as I mentioned, just look at the two advanced bet, because that's the thing. Because if it goes to extra time, if that's settled there, or if it has to go to penalties and it gets settled there, that's the bet you want to have, is just two advance in these soccer tournaments in the elimination round. That's the way you want to bet these things rather than the three-way line. USA right now, even though the game is tied at 2-2, minus 240 to advance. So we'll keep an eye on this. 10 minutes to go here, excuse me, in regulation plus stoppage time, and then we'll see where we are should we still be tied going into extra time. Wimbledon begins in several hours from now, in the early morning hours here. The Wimbledon will begin. There's a lot of tennis going on. I know a couple of guys here at the network, Zach Cohn, Gil Alexander, very excited about Wimbledon. We'll do a little preview coming up next. Scott Reichel of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network will join us at the top of the hour as we'll get into his plays here for Wimbledon. We could take a look at some of the futures, the odds to win for the men. On the men's side, Carlos Alcaraz is a plus 120 favorite to win. Yannick Sinner is plus 200 to win. Novak Djokovic is next at plus 650 to win. On the women's side in the futures market here, let's see. It looks like Sabalenka is your favorite at plus 260. Elena Rybakina is plus 600. Coco Gauff, the American, is 8-1. Iga Swiatek, who was once just, you know, on top of her game, is plus 900. Madison Keys, 15-1. Looking for a little bit of a long shot there. Interesting price there on Madison Keys. But we'll get a preview from Scott Reichel coming up in about 15 minutes or so on Wimbledon, which begins. The first matches will be, I believe, 6 a.m. Eastern time coming up here on Monday. The first matches there at Wimbledon, 6 a.m. Eastern time here on Monday. Let's get back into some Major League Baseball real quick, because I talked about earlier the A's and the home ballpark and the park factors and how the ERA is through the roof and all the runs that are being scored there. So I wanted to quickly update the numbers as we are right now in through almost the end of June. And I wanted to go over who's been the best, you know, totals teams, overs and unders, homes, road, things like that, the trend lines. So here are your stats right now as we sit on this June 29th, headed towards the end of the month and the calendar turning to July in a couple of days. Right now, your best home team in Major League Baseball, the best home record in Major League Baseball, belongs to the New York Mets, 29-12 at home this year. The New York Mets, which is interesting because that in, let's see, is that updated with today's loss? Because I will, let's see, with today, let's see, the Mets, or the Mets, right now, the New York Mets, 29-12 at home. They were in Pittsburgh, by the way, with this series sweep. But 29-12 at home is the best record, home record for teams in Major League Baseball is the New York Mets. Now, there are other teams that have more wins than them, but I'm going off of the percentage. So if we look just on the total number of wins at home, the Astros have 31 home wins. Okay, the Dodgers have 30 home wins. If the Tigers win tonight, they'll have 30 home wins. But at 29-12, 70.7%, the Mets have the best home record in Major League Baseball. The worst home record in Major League Baseball, you guessed it, Colorado, 8-32 at home this year. Your best over team at home in Major League Baseball? No, not the Rockies. No, not the A's. The Dodgers, 28-14-2 to the over at home this year, followed by the Blue Jays, 25-15-1 to the over. And then, this might surprise you, the Chicago White Sox, 23-16-3 to the over this season. Your best under team at home is the Texas Rangers, 30-11 to the under at home this year. Your second best under team, and we teased this a little bit yesterday when we talked about the long streak for the New York Yankees of cashing their unders, the Yankees, 27-14-1 to the under at home this year. 27-14-1 to the under at home. Crazy, right? Because the Yankees are such a high-scoring team, you would think. On the road this year, your best road team, despite only having 20 road wins, at 20-13, the Tampa Bay Rays are the best road team by winning percentage, because 20-13 is a 60.6% rate. Now, the reason why they have had so few road games, and this is something that I talked about earlier when looking at the Rays' schedule on previous shows, the Rays could be a team to fade down the stretch of the season, because the majority of their remaining games will be on the road. It's about almost 60 out of their final 90 games are on the road, which is crazy. But because of the Rays playing outdoors this year, right? And it's because they're playing outdoors in Tampa, Steinbrenner Field, you know, yes, the potential of rain once it gets to like hurricane season late in the summer, but also the heat and the humidity, Major League Baseball front loaded their schedule. So they've played the most home games in baseball right now. So basically two out of every three games the rest of the year, like 60 of their last 90 games, are going to be on the road. So that's why it's only 33 road games that they've played. 20-13, the Rays are on the road this year. Your second best road team in baseball is the Detroit Tigers, 23-18. The Cubs, 24-19 on the road. Your worst road team is the Chicago White Sox, 9-32 on the road, followed by the Rockies at 10-33. Your best over team on the road is the Detroit Tigers. Get them out of Detroit. The games go over. 26-15 to the over for the Detroit Tigers. The Marlins on the road, they score a ton of runs. 23-17 to the over on the road for Miami. Your best under team on the road, the Baltimore Orioles. Get them out of Baltimore and they don't score. 28-13-1 to the under. The Phillies, 28-15-1 to the under on the road this season. Those are some numbers I wanted to give out as we are approaching the end of the month of June. Hey, start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement. In just 15 minutes, you'll get everything you need to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves, all before your morning coffee's gone. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, or get it on the VSiN Watch app. The sharpest way to start your betting day is the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. We'll talk to you about Wimbledon coming up next. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.